deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 26 of Flashpoint. It's a big one this week because we have a very special guest. But before I get on to that very special guest, I just want to say a quick hi to Mark and Simon. How are you two guys?
I'm really good, thanks.
Simon?
And I am also good, thank you.
Excellent. Now, unfortunately, Ed hasn't worked out the time zone conversion from America, and I think he's going to log on in probably 50 minutes and want to cry. So Ed, not the same without you, but we'll struggle through. On to our special guest. First, to make him feel welcome, I want to play some music with appropriate gravitas, if you would be so kind, Simon. So that's the BBC World News, which I know our special guest probably watches regularly, and that is Stephen Reed from BioWare. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. And please tell me you do listen to the BBC, otherwise that was just all pointless.
I don't, and only because I don't have BBC America here in the States, but I know the theme tune very well.
So you're a Fox News addict then?
No, I tend to listen to NPR here, which is
good move.
It's the US equivalent of the BBC, except with more pledge drives.
It is indeed. So what we might do is launch straight into some questions. Stephen, I know I've given you a couple of questions beforehand, but the majority will be a surprise to you. And I'll start off with a whole bunch of community questions. I'll probably just fire them at you if that's okay, and then
sure. One
of the other guys will jump in with supplementaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, and first one I wanted to start off with, it came from Jono from Sydney, New South Wales, and he raised an interesting question that were you guys surprised at the level of organisation of Oceanic Players in that, you know, at launch there were two PvE servers and a PvP server where they all conglomerated together and probably caused some challenges in that respect. Was that something that you guys were a little bit surprised at how organised some people were?
We weren't surprised by that point by any means, because we kind of knew it had been coming for a while. And that's why we kind of made sure that we got our announcement out about, I think we got our announcement out about regional servers for Australia and the launch in the Oceanic region before launch. My memory is a bit fuzzy on that. Pretty sure we talked about that before launch. But we weren't so surprised then. I mean, I think it was pleasantly surprising and I guess humbling for us to sort of see the interest from Oceanic-based players before launch. You know, obviously a lot of people from Australia, New Zealand, that sort of part of the world were pre-ordering the game from places like Amazon and similar. I'm sure probably many of you guys did the same. In an ideal world, we would have launched everywhere simultaneously, but that was a decision made very, very far above my head.
No, I have no doubt. And you mentioned Amazon and that. I guess you don't have specific figures, but on the surprise issue, were you surprised at the level of sales that did come from this area, given that, as you said, weren't part of the original launch territory?
I suppose we were surprised in the sense that there was a sudden kind of demand for it, but at the same time, I understand everybody's anxiety to make sure they secured a copy before anything got sold out. Not working with Amazon, I've got no idea what the proportion were in terms of delivered copies, but as I understand it, there was certainly a lot of demand going there, and that seemed to be the go-to destination to pick up the game, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose while we're talking Oceanic and Oceanic servers and stuff, it was further down, but I'll hit it now. There's obviously a lot of interest that whenever The game does launch locally, and I know you don't have any final details about that at this stage, but as far as the servers, the number one question I constantly get is, will the servers be physically located in the region, and if so, where, or will they be Oceanic-labelled servers?
Well, the good news is the servers are going to be physically located in Australia. I'm not sure where, but I'd be very surprised if it isn't, I guess, probably Sydney or Melbourne. But they are going to be physically located in Australia, which was kind of deemed the best option for something that was local. And I use that term advisedly because I know that there's some big distances between respective countries down there. But yeah, that's the current plan. The servers are physically located in Australia. They're not located in the US or the EU, and are just labelled that way. They are definitely physically there.
I can already hear the cheers. There'll be a lot of very happy people.
And the timing on this podcast is a bit unfortunate. We're really super close to being able to announce the final details on the launch date. I'll say that it's closer than you probably think. But that announcement should probably happen sometime next week.
Okay, I knew I should have not worn my pajamas. Like, do I need to run out the door for the launch now?
No, we're not going to. It's not like the release date. We're not going to spring it on you with absolutely no notice. I'll tell you right now that, like I say, the announcement should hopefully come next week sometime, and the actual launch date is in line with what people are expecting.
That's great, and I'm sure that that'll be the venue for the announcement around who's coming out. But is there any chance we're going to see your smiling face down under?
At this point, no, I'm afraid. You know, certainly I wouldn't have turned it down if someone had asked me to go. But there's a few too many other things going on. You might have heard that we have our Guild Summit happening at the very beginning of March. We're kind of deep in planning for that. So that kind of precludes me going anywhere. And speaking personally, I'd really hate to go all the way to Australia and then only spend a few days down there. You know, if I got the opportunity to go, I'd want to go for a decent length of time. So, fingers crossed. If things go well down there, maybe we can get down there and, you know, visit a convention or something in the future. But right now, no plans for a launch trip anyway.
No worries. So, I mean, that's probably the main Oceanic question. So I've got a lot of good general game questions from the community.
Sure.
First one was about the legacy system. So Milza from the Sunshine Coast of Queensland said, can you reveal any more about the legacy system? Will previously locked species become playable?
So we're actually finalising today's community Q&A. So by the time this cast goes out, I'm sure that will be live. So I'll give you the answer from that, which is that Legacy System is obviously starting to get more features added to it as of Game Update 1.2. Species that were previously not available to certain classes or factions will become unlocked. That does not mean that you're going to see new species that have not been playable before in any other way. So just as an example, and I hope nobody feels I'm being mean when I say this, no, you won't be able to play a Wookiee, for example. As you probably saw in this sort of video that we released, the example I think we put there was a Miralucan Sith. So you'll see combinations that you haven't seen before, and those are going to be unlocked in certain ways. And we're going to have a lot more details about the legacy system going forward before the official release date. One thing to bear in mind is that the legacy system is very much aimed both at people creating new additional alternative characters, and there's also benefits to your existing main characters. So people who've spent time getting their legacy XP and stuff are going to have some benefits to having spent that time, and then there'll definitely be additional benefits for new alternate characters as well.
Excellent. And just that's prompted me to think, I know some people have had a bit of a gripe that with the legacy system, there's probably some bias towards rolling multiple characters in order to get the maximum benefits. So some of the more casual players are saying, well, will we be disadvantaged? Are the sort of benefits likely to have a distinct impact on gameplay?
There are some abilities, but we're obviously being very careful to not try and unbalance the game. You know, by making those available. I mean, you know, we've never made any secret of the fact that what we're most proud of, really, in as a company as a whole, is our sort of, you know, skill with storytelling. And, you know, the Old Republic has an enormous amount of story in it. So, yeah, we did make a system which will encourage you to roll alternate characters and experience different storylines, which is kind of one of the primary purposes of the Legacy system. But there's extra bonuses on top of that. But we, you know, the team's being very careful not to have a situation where someone who has a Legacy character is drastically overpowered in comparison to another character. So I don't think it's going to overtly or unduly affect people who are kind of playing casually. Now, having said that, you know, for some people, they may feel slightly more compelled to go through and play a number of alternate characters to make sure that they unlock everything they possibly can. But those same people are spending time, you know, unlocking every codex entry or getting every data cron, so they're probably not going to be too upset that they have more stuff that they can uncover in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, as much as I said there was not another Oceanic question, I just realised Josh from Victoria had a question as far as whenever the Oceanic launch does occur, will there be a collector's edition for Australia, and will it and the game have bonus content like the current collector's edition?
I'm going to have to defer you to the launch announcement on that one. Yeah. I can't drop that one. But like I said, the announcement is coming pretty soon.
Yep, no worries. Dave from Perth, WA, just wanted to ask, what is BioWare's take on the complaints from community groups, so outside the Star Wars, the Old Republic community, about the upcoming change to allow toons to have same-sex relations?
Do you mean complaints against the feature?
Yeah, or... that was my take on it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we haven't really made any public statement about that, and to be honest, this isn't really the time or the place for me to do it. I mean, we haven't changed our stance, I'll say that much. We're certainly still proceeding with that. You know, we're still planning to do exactly what we said we were going to do, which is add additional romance options in the future. But we don't have any timeline to share on that just yet. It's a considerable task. We don't take... you know, storyline or romantic relationships in the game lightly. You know, they're not thrown in sort of casually. They're carefully written and very deliberately scripted and everything. So, you know, it's not something that's going to appear overnight. But we really, none of what has happened recently has changed our mind on any decision we've previously made.
No, great. I'm glad it hasn't, from my own bias. Tim from Canberra, ACT, says, I'm hoping to learn about specific upcoming PvP changes. Will there be changes to game announcements so players' names are credited for achieving objectives, or will there be medals for accomplishing objectives, etc.?
I haven't heard about those two specific ideas. Pretty good ideas, though, and I'm sure that they've been suggested in the PvP forum previously. There's a lot of PvP changes coming. There's a new Warzone coming in Game Update 1.2, which is a big favorite internally. A lot of people are playing that. And there's a few other changes, again, that we're going to talk about, you know, in the time leading up to 1.2. There are a lot more changes coming. We're certainly not leaving the PvP systems alone.
Excellent. Ken from Sunshine Coast, Queensland, what are your future plans for light side and dark side? Will some PvP rounds be light versus dark, so you'd have Jedi and Sith fighting other Jedi and Sith? Will there be planets where the questing will be divided by light and dark side?
Again, interesting ideas. Not anything that I've heard discussed. Yeah, all I can say on that one is those are very interesting. That's not something that's been talked about, but if he hasn't already, I'd encourage I missed the name there, but I'd encourage him to leave that feedback on the forums.
So Ken, do that. Great idea. Aaron from Melbourne, Victoria, will you be offering any services in the near future for things like character server transfers / faction changes / renaming, and will some form of this be available for Oceanic players to be able to move characters from US servers once the Oceanic ones are released? So let's split off the Oceanic servers because you've covered that. So just as a general thing about faction changes.
Well, I mean, I do want to make the point that part of the Oceanic planning has been to definitely allow anyone who would like to play on the Oceanic servers to have the option to do so. And again, we'll have some more details on that with our announcement next week. Character transfer is definitely something that will be happening at some point. Faction change and renaming. Faction change, I don't really know how faction change would work, because you couldn't become a Jedi on the Empire side without it radically changing your class story. So that's unlikely. I mean, never say never, but there are no discussions that I've heard of for faction changing. Renaming is again a possibility. Probably not that high on the priority list, but I think something that would ultimately probably be allowed would be character renaming for sure.
Great. And Rob's got a similar question from Auckland, New Zealand. Will the character transfers be paid or free?
It's really too early to comment on that. I think with the Oceanic stuff specifically, as I understand it, that service is going to be offered free because it's a courtesy, really, for anyone who may be playing on US servers if they'd like to move to one that has got a lower ping and lower latency for them. But I can't really comment on any sort of future plans.
No problems. And Rob also had a follow-up as far as, and I quite like this one, is there any chance of a cutscene stress relief event where we eject C2N2 or 2VR8 out the ship's airlock so we can watch them float away into space and burn up entering a nearby planet's atmosphere?
Oh, they only like to serve. I mean, you know, they're faithful and loyal droids. We've actually been discussing here about the possibility of adding more dialogue to those characters. I think, you know, our feeling is that really they should be commenting on just about everything you do in the game. You know, perhaps suggesting that you made a good shot after you, you know, pull off a particularly good attack or something similar. No, I mean, this obviously the opinion is divided a bit on those particular droids, and I'm sure the development team are looking at that, and they may make some changes at some point in the future.
I mean, I'm very much on the pro side. I love the dialogue. Mark, you like it?
Well, it's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It is.
And giving and giving and giving.
And exactly, yeah.
And Simon?
Well, I have been compared to C-3PO on several occasions, so I'm firmly with the droids on this one.
Yeah, so there you go. Three votes to leave it as... Although more dialogue would be good, I suppose, as long as it's more of the same. So Tyler from East Gippsland, Victoria, please can Are You Sure buttons be placed on important choices such as advanced class choice? Having rolled a bounty hunter, I got to advanced class choice only to misclick a button and become a power tech instead of a mercenary. Now, I know with 1.1.3 patch notes released that there's some more dialogues asking if you're sure on a couple of things. So is that one that's likely to happen for the class?
It could do. Yeah, it could do. I speaking personally, and I know everybody varies, I think you do get a pretty good warning that you're about to choose an advanced class. And, you know, you do have them fairly clearly staked out towards you. But I can certainly see that being added in. It's a relatively minor change, and I think that's something that we should probably elevate ourselves. And I think in next week's patch, I believe, we're putting in a couple of confirmation dialogues in a few places where people have complained about accidentally making the wrong choice. So we're certainly not against that as a possibility. And advanced class switching is not something that we're planning to put in any time soon. It's been, again, it was asked about in the Q&A we're publishing today, and that's not something that we've got any current plans for. So yeah, confirmation on there probably couldn't hurt anyone.
Great. Glenn from Southland, New Zealand. Are there any plans to introduce a localized call center, at least a center that routes calls from oceanic areas to your main call center after launch to avoid serious toll charges? And I know Glenn's situation, he either doesn't want to or can't use Skype, so I know that's an option, but just more broadly.
Sure. As I understand it, the answer is yes. There will be a local number. I actually don't know, considering the question came from somebody in New Zealand, whether it's going to be Australia and New Zealand. But I am told that there are going to be local numbers to ensure that people don't rack up excess charges there.
Brilliant. Ken from Sunshine Coast, will physical security keys become available to Oceanic players either through stores or through Origin?
Oh, you've stumped me on that one. I'm pretty sure that they will, but again, I would check our launch announcement next week. We've got a big FAQ going up, and I'm sure that'll be covered off in there. We did have some supply issues at the very beginning of the launch of the game, but I'm sure we'll endeavour to get those out to Oceanic regions, because we definitely want people to have that extra layer of security on their account.
Great. The next one comes from our number one fan, Gail, from Wollongong, New South Wales. Is there any particular reason that maintenance is the same time as WoW maintenance? Because Gail plays both games. I could see a lot more WoW players coming to the light side on a Tuesday if the tour maintenance were a different day.
It's something that's actually been discussed, and there's, I think the reason is believe it or not, Tuesday nights are one of the lowest levels that we have for the entire week in terms of concurrent players. So that was the primary reason. I don't believe it had anything to do with any other game, which shall not be mentioned. I think that's purely coincidental, to be honest.
Okay. And then Ben from Brisbane, Queensland, are there any plans to add additional features to the mobile app, e.g. Armory or Guild Chat, or maybe something for the tablet market to do, such as space missions on an iPad or equivalent, or to send companions on crafting missions via the app?
Mobile applications have been talked about. It's not something we have any announcements on yet, but we're certainly all smartphone fans here, so you never know. It might happen in the future. I think space missions will probably be a bit much. That would have to run the whole Hero engine. But other stuff, like you suggested, are relatively simple tasks are, I would say, possible. They've been discussed for sure, but no timeline and no definite announcement that it's happening anytime soon.
No worries. That's pretty much it from the community. I have one there from Jonathan, which I think is probably redundant with your announcement on the Oceanic. He was just asking a broader question about, have there been any learnings from launch about communications in regards to grace periods and stuff? So, and asking, are we likely to see more transparency and sticking to what's been promised? So that was Jonathan's probably stinger in the tail.
Jonathan, you hurt me, you wound me, my friend. For example, the grace period was a tricky one. At the time of the initial discussions about grace period, that was our planning, and I was communicating what I'd been told, and then things changed, and then things changed back. So there wasn't really a lack of transparency on our part. It was more, if anything, we were too transparent in that particular example. I really absolutely endeavor to be as transparent as I can, but there are always going to be situations where we aren't able to talk about things for whatever reason. And in some cases, it's like, hey, ask me again in 6 months and I can give you the real reason behind whatever. We would always rather just say, look, we can't talk about that right now. We're never going to lie intentionally to anyone. That's probably the single most annoying thing from my point of view is us being accused of lying. Lying is, giving the opposite or, telling a falsehood with intention, right? No one ever intentionally lies to the community because we know we're just going to get caught in that lie. There are times when, we cannot tell you something that you want to know for whatever reason it might be. We're learning lessons all the time, but I don't think that there was anything. If I could go back in time and rewind things, then sure, I would rather have said, at the time, whenever it was last summer, that no, we aren't having a grace period, but at the time I was told that we were, so that was why it was communicated and then rescinded and then reversed. I think the important thing to realize is that, when people have a reaction to something, we take it seriously and we listen to those concerns and we usually act upon that sort of stuff, We're not kind of deaf to people's concerns about things. But that doesn't mean that, if one person or even 1,000 people get upset about one particular aspect of the game, that doesn't mean that automatically things are going to change. And that's just because sometimes it's outside of our control, or it's impractical at that time, or it's something that we can't do immediately, but it might get done later. So, it kind of varies and it really depends on the issue at hand. But, I say this all the time, we are listening to what people have to say and we're always interested in people's feedback and, we try and act on it wherever we possibly can.
Great. Good stuff. And then it for the community questions, and we've just got a handful of ones from the Tauros crew. So, Mark, we might start out with you.
Yeah, first one I had really is something that quite a few people have spoken to me about, is are there any plans for introducing guild capital ships at all in the future?
you talk about things I could go back and undo, I would undo James Olin answering the question about guild capital ships. We have a guild summit coming up soon. No, that's going to sound like too much of a promise. We have no current timeline for any kind of a feature like that. But put it this way, it doesn't go very far away from anyone's mind. You know, it's being discussed. I'll tell you what I've told various people at conventions, which is that the idea of a guild capital ship is, it varies in everyone's minds. You know, for some people, it's literally just essentially a guild hall, a place where you can get together, you know, maybe just a larger version of the ship that you have, that every character has in the game. But then for other people, it's much more involved and much more complicated, and could lead to much, much bigger things. And from our point of view, generally speaking, we don't really want to do a feature like that, you know, in a kind of half implemented way. So, you know, it's being discussed, but that doesn't mean that we're ready to talk about details just yet.
Yeah. The other question I had is kind of outside the game, and that was obviously, Stephen, you're from England. What brought you to the US? Was it the job or?
It wasn't this job. It was actually two jobs ago. But yeah, it was a job initially. I used to work in California in the Bay Area. And my wife's American as well, so that kind of sort of helped along the immigration process a bit. Although immigrating here has become a lot harder since, over the last 10 years, really.
Yeah. Okay, that was all the questions from me.
Simon, I'll let you jump in because everyone's probably sick to death of my voice.
Oh, I think that's an unnecessarily harsh thing to say, but you're probably right. Gentlemen, first question, they're pretty easy ones, I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not going to try and trap you. At the moment, it's pretty common in-game to see LFG messages scrolling through the chat pane. I'm just wondering, are there any plans on introducing a looking-for-group tool?
There's definitely some improvements going in on the looking for groups side, and longer term there are other thoughts about potentially, for example, cross server, you know, Flashpoint Finder or something similar. So it's being looked at. Definitely something that we want to do. I think, you know, speaking very personally, I quite like to see, you know, those LFG, you know, messages scrolling across. You know, shows there are other people on the server, and you know, shows you that there are people willing to get together and team up. But, you know, we know that there are ways that we can improve that, and that's something that's being looked at for sure.
No, I see that as a good point. I think that's probably one of the concerns I would have about guild ships as well, as it would invariably end up segregating good chunks of the community that never end up mixing with the masses.
That's actually a really excellent point. It's one of the reasons why, you know, guild housing was something that we weren't sort of stressing to get into the first iteration, the launch iteration of the game, because exactly that, you know, anytime you introduce a feature which allows people to basically go into a private instance away from other people, then you lower the amount of times you're going to interact with others and see others on the server. So it's always something to be considered, yeah.
Excellent. And that was it from you, Simon?
No, one other.
Good.
Has my microphone cut out again?
No, you're right.
Oh, good, good. one other question. To make the public test server more attractive to prospective testers, I was just wondering if you have any plans to offer...
Yes.
You do? Oh, good.
Were you about to say a character transfer service?
Character transfer or offering some higher level pre-mades, yeah.
Yes. It's most likely to be character transfer and not pre-mades. That's the way that we're kind of leaning towards. I don't have a timeline on it, but it's not on the distant horizon, and we absolutely know that it's an important thing to get in place.
Excellent. Oh, and just a fluff question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Jack in the Box have recently released the Bacon Shake. Do either of you gentlemen intend on trying one if you haven't already?
Unlike some people I know, I don't automatically think that adding bacon to something makes it better. So no, that's not. That's not something I'm anxious to do. What have we had here? We had bacon. We had cookies with bacon in them at one point, which was weird. What else? And there's of course the infamous Baconaise, which I've never tasted. I can only imagine what that was like.
There was a bacon latte at one point.
Oh, good lord! I mean, I can't quite see that appearing at the local Starbucks, but you never know. It could happen.
No, well, there's a Jack in the Box at in Burnett Road, so you can just pop out of the office and head over there.
Yeah, I'll grab a bacon shake the next time I talk to you guys.
Good man. Thank you very much for that.
No problem.
So, Stephen, just a couple more from me. And Ed is actually just in a mad panic, logged on. So I'll actually bring him in a minute. I'll call him in, although okay. I'll tell him all these questions have been asked so he can just nod and smile. Are there any plans for a big convention in the future? So, yes, I'm going to mention the game that shouldn't be mentioned. Well, a number of games have the big conventions each year. Is that something that BioWare may look at in the future?
I couldn't confirm or deny any possibilities of the possibility of us having a convention in the future.
Excellent. I just want to see.
Put it this way, you know, doing something like the Guild Summit is very good practice for some sort of event, if such an event was ever to occur.
So that's a yes, then.
I didn't say that.
No, he did not. Of course, he did.
I heard a yes.
I would say that, like, you know, some sort of event, if it was wanted by fans, you know, then fans should certainly let us know that they would like to see something like that.
Excellent, and I think you just confirmed it'll either be in Hobart or Inverness.
No, it's too.
Well, I mean, I will say that, like, you know, we're always interested in hearing from people if they have, you know, local conventions or local events that they think it would be good for us to turn up at. You know, Australia is obviously quite a distance from us here in Austin, but it's not impossible. We've been looking at the lineup of shows for this year, and we're trying to make sure that we hit a number of shows in the US and Europe as well. But it would be great to expand and go on the road to places we haven't been to before.
Excellent. Now, I'm just going to bring Ed in before he literally cries, so just bear with me if this doesn't work. Ed, are you there? Hey, Ed.
I'm here.
Now, Stephen's still with us, so you're just going to nod and smile. All your questions have been asked, but I just wanted to give you the chance to, you know, join the end of the conversation and throw in something at the end, but assume all your questions have been answered.
Well, I guess I just have to be fashionably late then.
That's right. This is one, Stephen, that I was always expected to ask, and that was out of self-interest, is the Mac port of the game. So I know Ray and Greg made a very broad comment back in January saying, look, we're aware that'd be a great idea and it's not something we're ruling out. Is there anything else you're able to talk about a Mac port of the game?
There really isn't. You know, they would know more about any kind of move towards Mac than I would. I don't believe at this point it's a priority for the team. I think I probably would know about it if there was a whole bunch of engineers working on a Mac version. You know, again, never say never. I think we're much more likely to see a Mac version of the game before we are to see it on any kind of console.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense. What about for the
Newton? I'm a Mac fan, and you know, many of the other guys on our team are Mac fans. And put it this way, if we made a Mac version of the game, it would probably give me a good excuse to get a Mac at work. So, you know, that would be nice.
Excellent. So that one was for you, Gail. And then the last one I had was, actually, second last one. One thing I've noticed since launch is there doesn't seem, and I may not be looking in the right place, it seems a distinct lack of creative Star Wars The Old Republic machinima being disseminated around the place. So, and I've had some comments from some people that they'll assume that if they create it, that they'll get a cease and desist or a pull order on YouTube or wherever it is. Is what's BioWare and probably LucasArts' approach to fan-created machinima?
Well, I have to be clear here that I can't speak on behalf of LucasArts, because obviously I'm not employed by them. We've actually seen there is some machinima, especially some music videos and stuff like that out there. And I think you'll find that they still exist and they're not going anywhere. So that might give you a good idea. Generally speaking, you know, we'd be happy to see that kind of thing. That is to say, you know, we unfortunately, it's not the right word. You know, we're obviously not the owners of the Star Wars IP. And it's up to LucasArts what they ultimately want to do. But, you know, we certainly encourage fan creativity and, you know, we'd be looking forward to seeing, you know, whatever people come up with. I know people have been doing some stuff with you know, the in-game cinematics themselves, and to be fair, you know, your options in terms of machinima are a little bit more limited than maybe some other games. We ourselves can use like the Hero Engine sort of editing tools to do a lot of stuff in the game engine, but that's not really available to players. So I guess it's a little tougher to potentially do that. But we've seen some pretty creative stuff already, certainly in the music video area as well.
Excellent. So, yeah, get out there, people. And these are two of their more puff questions like Simon asked, well, about the bacon. What are the most humorous and stressful moments you've had at work since launch?
humor and stress kind of go hand in hand on a daily basis, really. If you aren't laughing, then sometimes you're crying. I don't know. I can't really think of many things that have been enormously. There's been a lot of stuff that's been fun and you know, and fun to look at. There's been some interesting memes and things like that have popped up around the game, which have been fun to observe. And stressful, like, again, that varies on a daily basis. It's you know, naturally always a bit stressful when things are going wrong in the service or people are upset about something and we're trying to fix it. But at the same time, it's our job to deal with that stuff, you know. So it doesn't overly stress me because, you know, that's kind of what we're supposed to do is sort of deal in crisis situations. You know, so I couldn't really nail anything down in particular that I would say had been my most stressful moment. Although I did see some video of myself earlier today for an upcoming video. That was kind of stressful.
Yeah, it's never good looking at yourself.
No, especially as they flopped me and apparently I talk out of one side of my mouth, which is interesting to see.
Oh!
And you mentioned crisis situation. I just realised I'd be remiss in not asking you about, obviously there's been a number of patches, 1.1.3 is coming up. Is the level of patching that's occurred over the last few weeks something that, a rough level that you've expected or, you know, has it been, there been more patching than what you would have liked?
There's been more than we would have liked. I'm not going to deny that. On average, we want to be able to do a weekly maintenance. You know, it would be nice if we got to a point where we didn't feel that we needed to do a weekly maintenance. But frankly, you know, we still have plenty of things that we want to tweak and fix and update in the game. So that's why you've seen an awful lot of changes and stuff going into the weekly maintenances in particular. But yeah, we've obviously done some overnight patches and some unscheduled maintenances, which we'd rather not have done. But in most cases, we've done that, you know, with the justification that it's going to help players who may have been in, you know, particularly bad states and similar. So, you know, we never take those lightly. But when we feel we have to do them, we have to do them. But it's something that we spend a lot of time discussing internally, and we're always very careful about doing it. And our ultimate aim is to reduce the amount of patching that we're doing overall. So, you know, that's something that we're going to do. But in the meantime, the sort of weekly fixes and changes and that sort of thing are hopefully, you know, things that make the game better. And in some cases, you know, we may even occasionally slip things out of some of those big quarterly updates and bring them into earlier patches if we can do it. Although you're not likely to see, for example, the legacy system popping up in a weekly patch. But yeah, there's plenty of that stuff going on, but you know, obviously our aim ultimately is to reduce the amount of downtime that we have in the game.
Excellent. And we're up to the last question. I believe you're a comics tragic.
Tragic? I guess I'm a comics fan, although I have to be honest, I don't read as many as I used to.
No, that makes two of us. Well, here's a hypothetical for you. Marvel or DC Comics phone you up and ask you to become the writer for a comic series of your choice. What would you choose?
Ha! That's a good question. I think at this point I'd probably say Marvel, and I would probably the instant answer is Amazing Spider-Man. Although I will say that I think that's being handled pretty darn well by its current writing teams. But that would probably be the one that's closest and nearest and dearest to my heart.
Okay, excellent. Well, as I've mentioned, I'm meeting Stan Lee in June just at a convention. I'm paying for the privilege. I'll put your name out there.
I don't think he has much. Any,
no,
much
he doesn't.
Balls he used to, but, no. But tell him hi for us.
Exactly. So, Ed, I'm just going to give you an opportunity because I'm feeling really sorry for you. Is there anything you wanted to ask Stephen that you're not aware that we've asked?
Well, there's really only one burning question in my mind at the moment, Stephen. Do any of you wear tights?
Not on a daily basis. You know, and certainly not around the office. I'll say that much.
Because I keep thinking, and this is totally offbeat and totally off the wall, but I keep thinking, seeing the crew from BioWare dressed up as the men in tights.
The merry men romping through the forest.
Yes. Well,
that wasn't the video. That wasn't the video that's coming out.
I think I would be the only one who would potentially lead that merry band, and I've been told I don't look great in tights, so I don't think it's likely to happen anytime soon.
Oh, bummer. Oh, well, we can dream.
So we've just hit the 45-minute mark, so I know you've got to dash off, Steve. So really appreciate your time. Very much looking forward to the Oceanic announcement in the next week or so. Yeah, it's a shame you won't be down here, but we'll be certainly looking forward to talking to you in the future. And again, appreciate your time.
No problem at all, guys. And, maybe we can come back on and talk again maybe sometime after launch.
Absolutely. That'd be great. So there we go. That was a great discussion with Stephen. He certainly gave a lot of information about a range of stuff. So we might as well get some comments. I'll start with you, Simon, this time. Any thoughts on what was disclosed?
Nothing specific. I think it was just the tenor of the whole thing. I'm just speaking to him directly, got a real appreciation of just how careful he has to be, because although there's a lot of really sane people out there in the community, there's a lot of people that will go off half-cocked, a lot of hair triggers out there. So, a lot of respect for the guy.
I mean, you're right on needing to be careful. I mean, even my assumption that launch meant a launch event, well, that's true. It's up to Electronic Arts whether they actually do that, so I'll certainly be on to them. I need an excuse to wear my T-shirt and hopefully get one of you guys there as well, sadly. So, yeah, anyway, I'll follow that up. Mark, any thoughts?
I thought it was good, eh? Nice guy, very informative, definitely knows what he's talking about. So yeah, it was good. It'd be good, hopefully, to speak to him again.
And I mean, Oceanic Service, good thing.
For sure.
I mean, I know, just on the Oceanic Service, I know people from WA and New Zealand ideally would prefer closer servers, but I think we've also got to be realistic on that. And that's easy for me to say, living 80 kilometres from Sydney, but I think, given that WoW doesn't even have, because their servers are just Oceanic labelled from memory, aren't they? They're not even yet. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the fact they're even opening local servers is a great step, and I'm hoping there won't be too much griping from people more remotely, but I can understand if it is, but I think it's a great step. Ed, from the last 5 minutes, any observations?
Yeah, I'm sort of bummed, I wanted to see them do the chorus line in tights.
Yeah, I know.
I did. But, seriously, I wouldn't want his job for all the money on earth. He's doing a bang-up. He's doing a wonderful job dealing with all this stuff. And you've seen some of the reactions when he posts something and people take it so much the wrong way. I wouldn't want his job. But he's doing a wonderful job, and he's counts.
Yeah, you're all fucking fanboys.
Yeah, well, that's what I have to do to get a check from BioWare every week.
Well, considering I've done something similar to that on a much smaller scale, and I've been.
Well, he's gone again. He's just never bloody here.
Who, me?
Yeah, you keep cutting out. Bloody dear.
Well,
I have to stop playing with your dongle.
And while I think of it, Glenn from Southland in New Zealand, I didn't attribute your name to, I think it was the second question, so apologies, mate, but it's now attributed. And yeah, so that's it. It's been an interesting episode. We'll be back for episode 27 in around 2 weeks' time. There'll also be a transcript of Stephen Reed's answer, so it'll be just purely me summarising. I won't be doing it word for word. I'm not that dedicated. And that'll be up as a separate post a few hours after this podcast goes out. So, yeah, until next time, we'll talk to you then. Until next time, we'll talk to you then. What sort of fucking wraps that?
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.